phone not work on it.
Oh, I'm not having any luck. Oh, it all.
Nothing. I purposely use very short ones.
I've been going through the Terrascale, geometry. And
it looks really good, actually.
But there's quite a bit of documentation to read through. They seem to treat the mesh assembly and definitions in a fairly rigorous way, you know, in the specifying sort of objects and boundaries, and then building up meshes from or objects associated from objects of lower dimension, each with their own boundary, etc. So it's taken a fairly rigorous approach. I haven't had time to see the nuts and bolts of it yet.
Do you get the feeling you therefore need the lower dimensional items to define the high dimensional?
Well, just from the comment that you made last week, there are two ways to do that. The approach that I took earlier, because I thought the approach of taking the sort of more rigorous approach was going to be too difficult, because I could see all sorts of problems associated with it. The comment that you made last week, though, was that we were trying to infer sort of properties and constructs based on insufficient information, whereas if you took the approach of sort of rigorously defining every object as having sort of a dimension and an associated boundary made up of components that could then have its own boundary made up of its own components, you work your way down through the dimensions until you get to point components, which is what the Terrascale Simulation Tools Technology Group seems to be doing.
Mm-hmm. This is the TST. And how currently
accessible?
Your website's been pretty revamped in the last couple of months, actually. But the specifications are purposeful and you're so...
I'll just check that, because I just... I was going to print them off.
Where's this come from?
This is a group of research institutes.
DOE sponsored
program. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Probably the DOE labs.
Yeah,
they're coming up with this.
Oak Ridge, Lawrence Livermore.
I had a quick talk, and I talked about something called MOAC, which is one of the mesh specifications.
They listed a few sort of implementations, and mesh MOAB was one of them. MOAB seemed to be a
I couldn't see anything having happened on Murray sort of recently. I think they had a mailing list in 2005 and two emails since work, but nothing significant in the replies. It doesn't mean something's not happening in the background, but it made me wonder a bit about that one.
Although the just checking the user manual for the meshing
of Moab?
No, it's Moab, sorry, this is the meshing specification.
Yeah.
Is reasonably current from September last year.
Okay. Yeah.
October last year, sorry.
Okay, cool.
Draft version 0.7. Good. It's still not particularly detailed though, so there may be some other documents that have
dragged up. The FIDL looks like, I haven't looked through it, but I get the feeling that this is the user documentation sort of explain what I'm typing in, there's the interface definition language or something which was available to the subversion, but some version no longer where it used to be, you know, being able to find the new location of it.
Okay.
That looks like it might be more of a sort of computer oriented spec. It may contain the details, but I don't know how filled it out it is.
I don't want to get something else.
I think it's scientific interface definition language.
That's for generating API to the
mission source. I think it's intended so that your computer, it is a sort of computer-oriented API, and it's one that can use Babel to translate it into Fortran or speed. Like Paul said, there's quite a lot to look through, and I haven't looked through it all, but they make sure they have this adjacency concepts between things. I haven't seen anything on hierarchies or embeddings, so I'd say, in this case, so I haven't seen one region and part of another, but so it's not there.
Presumably
they're
the types of meshes they
tend
to deal with
are
for a large number of
different heterostyles. Yeah, that was the problem with the first implementation they missed is the flexible mesh database, but under the information they provide for that, they say that the only 3D elements are currently understand the tetrahedron. We want to do hexahedra. What's the right word? I assume that a hexahedron could have cubic relief.
Yeah.
Within it.
I mean, it's just the mesh.
Yeah. I think the standard or the specification they provided is intended to be able to handle many different types, just the implementation currently just haven't handled the general cases and certain implementations or types. It seems to be a group that's put quite a bit of thought into what they've done and tried to be quite specific and looking at what needs the simulation software has, but it's still a work in progress, which makes it difficult for us to know how much to try and join in, but ours is still a work in progress too.
And they are looking at how to deal with issues of secret mapping data distributed across
the interface or the specification, I haven't seen anything describing that, but the implementation say that they do that. Exactly how you tell them how to do that.
I mean, that sort of thing may have to be built upon the VHDF, hierarchical data format, which does explicitly deal with that issue.
How do they make use of HDF?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying that may be...
There's one way up, one way.
So you mean this is
the
higher
above
HDF?
I haven't heard HDF mentioned here, but I would imagine that has been sensible.
Yeah, I think HDF on its own is fairly low-level arrays.
But HDF allows you to specify how large data sets can be broken up and distributed, and provides the APIs, for collecting. It's certainly worth having a look at the literature on HDF, I think.
So coming back to what the issue of sort of how much of level or dimensions and so forth you specify, my feeling was that if you only need to deal in volumes, then perhaps only specifying volumes with a set of elements that are all volumes, and having a statement that all these elements do describe the whole mesh, so that all these elements cover the whole mesh, and that's enough for many problems. But when it comes to visualization and perhaps some tracking streamlines and computation or something like that, that's when we start needing to know about the data field, or the lower dimensions become important. Last week my concern was we were using sort of less information for intention that might be used to describe sort of higher dimensional couples, using points to derive adjacent faces and so forth, and that was why I was wondering if we should just specify the faces if that's what we want. But perhaps if we don't need that information as much as to have a set of elements and some assumption or statement that they cover the whole region that we're interested in. But I guess I'm saying that because maybe that's the place we can get started with, because there's a bit of research to do into looking after what the fathers got up to, and the issues we seem unsure of is how we handle sort of different dimensional elements interacting. So I'm trying to think of place we could, or is it necessary to, is it going to be more with our lives to investigate where other people have got to and things before or something?
Who maintains HDF? Is that a run by some organisation?
No, that's just sort of an open source, sort of public effort.
From
HDF.org, I think, or you just type in HDF
on Google. Is that serving a particular community or engineering?
It's serving the scientific community in a very wide sense, I think.
It's not just for imaging.
There is another sort of more, well, I wouldn't say it's proprietary, but it's come out of, Control Data, CDC, was it? Control Data Corp. Anyway, it was initiated by a commercial company, but is again an open effort. The name of the... are you aware of? This is a scientific data interchange format.
There's lots of that digest or something. That's that case.
Although that's specifically for
Canada.
So this is again a low level representation of a large arrays of data. I did put my bookmark there.
HDF 5 seems to be associated with National Center for Supercomputing. Computing.
Yeah. HDF 5 was recently released as the most current version.
Is it the Fortran? HDF is just not.
No, it's generic.
Yeah. Okay.
The other effort was NetCVF. Are you aware of that?
I'm going to just come across the network common data protocol.
Yeah. Both of which could be, you know, I think they're both reasonably widely supported, although I'm more familiar with the HDF stuff. NetCDF is probably...
Is HDS the other one there?
HDS?
Hierarchical data system. Suited for the storage of large multi-dimensional.
I'm not aware of that.
Another list of scientific data.
Do you have a feeling for what our best way forward is? Sure. Is that we're spending more time looking into this?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe a couple of us should look at the TSTD, especially TSTDM.
The geometry one seems quite well defined too, that with the adjacent sphere. Regions. Also, sort of went to what's the nearest point in this object.
Right. Once the geometric fields have been defined over the machine.
Well, yeah, we haven't got a field specification yet. How it gets that far.
No, but that may be what TSTDG is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's intention for field and relations to ship patients. Field seems obvious to me, but I don't know what they mean by relation, whether it's equations or coexistence. Or there's a question here, how are we going to develop code? Do we know what was intended by that question? Is that where we're going to start, or who's going to develop the code? Who posed the question?
Perhaps you more, Shane.
Question's been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
Probably who's going to.
Yeah, but the aspects of that, like tools and stuff, are the version of the documentation.
Yeah, so
that's more who's going to do what next.
Cool. So when Peter comes back, we'll follow up on our trial bed that we've been
related to the questions. I know you're working on this.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's just another example you can do, or if that's supposed to be the start.
If we're
building on Andre's work, or if...
I was going to build on Andre's work, but I probably saw the value more in educating myself and the issues involved.
And if it turned out good, it could be replaced with dark, but it doesn't seem right that these are on wait for me to develop and work for it. So if we can find ways that other people can contribute, or that multiple people can contribute to give, then that sounds good. But I feel what we need most is education on, or what I need most is education on how to handle this passing and those issues. And so if other people want to spend time bringing themselves up to scratch on that, or if they have other things that they think can be looked at now, that would be great.
So for now, this is essentially you becoming more familiar with the MPL concepts and coding the MPL. So yeah, it's not necessarily the start of a new seamless. Those ideas are still floating around.
Yeah, it was the concept came up as we're just trying to think what can we start on while we're sorting out field issues and we had Andre's code that looked like it could be a good thing to extend and try some things out on, and so you guys look who wants to work on that. So I'm happy to do that.
Have you actually ran this code?
No, I haven't.
Do you know when? I know it was written in C.
Yeah.
Is it in C? Straight C, or is there a Perl on top of it?
No, it's not on top of it.
Okay.
Because
using MPR with just C is a lot easier than Perl calling C, I think. Maybe more language on top of more engine features.
Yeah. I find it easier to develop new things in scripting languages, but the disadvantage is that you can't call your scripting language very easily from other languages. Whereas in C, you'll build anything on top of the label type.
Maybe we should consider what other areas can be looked at. So you did design just a little false stuff.
Yeah, it kind
of... I'll always not worry about the assembly. Take the matrix and write it out to a full matrix. So what you were considering doing was using MPI to self-solve.
Yeah.
The other thing you could probably do is you've got the matrix and you got the right hand side, you could rewrite it to a different MPI based array.
Yeah.
So you're not really concerned about
the cells of
speed, which is solving it with solving package.
Yeah.
It's just another step.
Yeah.
Simpler than.
Sounds good. And so that's
the theory of the one that I was
theory using
construct the matrix. This one is going to parallel you solve it. They overlap with the other, which is a little bit ridiculous. Just a
start.
Right.
Do you have any news on, do we still need to get an advert out for the
development position? Yeah, we do. I think most of them are actually clear about what skills we're looking for.
Okay.
And it says we should be getting it out.
I think someone who's worked in distributed computing would be probably the
primary useful skills.
Yeah.
I think. Actually, it'll be something we can deal with in probably the language is physical to be.
Yeah. Shane had read what happened. There was an initial sort of draft job description that Shane Meyer had read as nice for Crossland. Have you got that?
No, I think
see if I can dig that out and otherwise I've got to wait till Shane gets back.
Okay. Was that mailed around? Did you mail that around? Because I seem to remember reading it.
It turned out that the meeting was once discussed it.
Okay, yeah. So what do you think? Are we ready to go ahead now on the basis of essentially MPI skills, not specifying our language, but just indicating the type of...
I think we've got to the point where we're going to specify the intended languages used, so we wanted to mention Fortran so that some of the packages are working in
Fortran. If I could just say Fortran, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And scripting languages.
Yeah.
If I can find it and then just...
Yeah, then we can see if there are any issues that we thought that needed to be seen on. I was going to ask if you've been in communication with Chris.
I had a Skype call last week, I think. I think it was he wanted to know more about what you were planning with your MPI test program, and because he's also developing an MPI test program for translation, and I think he was just concerned that you weren't, you know, the two of you were sort of doing things that were complementary.
Okay.
What is the MPI test program?
Andre has written on the last equation of code, and the plan was to add on some sort of spell now solvers just to keep them parallel. And I primarily saw it as an education and understanding message passing issues, and perhaps helping me to understand the same guru data structures at the same time. And probably didn't see it as a starting point for everything, but an opportunity to learn about what's
about. Your plan was supposed to do the MPI, the parallel cell level solving, you firing off different processes for dealing with the cell integration side, and then to reassemble back into a simple matrix, which is then distributed to the solver.
At initial stage, I wasn't going to do that, but Travis used the pen as another area we could look at in parallel for the solver interface, or adding tolls onto that could be something that could be good.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the assembly or the splitting up of the physical domain or the field domain, but you just have a matrix and an array.
Yeah.
And you can just spread that out, and that's a lot easier to do.
Yeah,
it'll be quicker. So you at least have the interface defined between the matrix and the soul. There's one thing where
I'm not, but I think that's the next step is to go forward. The only issue would be whether that was back to the future, whether we are trying to never re-sample entire global system matrix in one place, whether you're actually doing the assembly and the solution and distributed process.
Well, yeah, but you naturally want to assemble it parallel to, but as a small step, you don't worry about assembling it parallel, because then you have to start getting into the, it's just essentially a way for you to start interfacing with the solver.
Yeah.
with a distributed matrix. So don't worry about it. Because the more difficult thing is constructing the matrix in parallel. But if you don't have to worry about that, then you just have the matrix, then you can very easily split it up in parallel.
You don't care where it's come from.
Right.
So essentially, if you have a distributed matrix, how do you
start? Right.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Chris might be already in the process of constructing matrix and parallel. So that might be something that's duplicated when he's done.
Do you know what Chris is starting with?
He was starting with a sort of structured mesh approach, and I suggest the term that we really should be starting with the unstructured. From the assembly point of view, we should be dealing with an unstructured situation, because the methods you'd use for a structured mesh would be very different from what we're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be addressing the unstructured part from the start.
Okay.
So he was going back to the free to think about that, so I think. Maybe what we should do is get him to send down a statement of what he is actually working on to make sure we're all complementary.
Okay.
Isn't an unstructured assembly would be probably more expensive than a structured in terms of time?
Yeah.
And all of our biodomain simulations take place on essentially the structure. The structure is measured within an unstructured.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the idea, is the structure within the unstructured, but it's not starting with the
problem. But right now we use that structure nature of the exact coordinate space to construct the matrix, and that makes it a lot faster than truly instruction. So I mean, in my opinion, I think it's not a bad idea to start with the structure what Chris is doing, because we were starting with biodomain, and none of those measures are truly unstructured, fully unstructured. Okay, it's kind of this in-between point, but an instruction mesh within the structure mesh within an instruction. And we use that information right now to construct the matrix.
Yeah.
And that makes things a lot faster than like the assembly for the mechanics problems.
Yeah.
So it seems that if we can take advantage of that in the future, then that can speed up the assembly
Well, we're about to have a half and up. Two things. One, you've got a pair of mesh that closes on itself around the left ventricle. The second, you've got a right ventricle, which fits it. So again, halfway between, because although it's an unstructured, generally unstructured approach, the fact is we end up with meshes that are halfway, really.
I guess it depends if you can define the degrees of freedom within host zone as an index from as a loop over KJ and L. If I know down at the apex that starts to become a problem, and there it's obviously becomes more unstructured, and I'm not sure about the wrapping around the people that it's working. But it doesn't seem like right now there's a perfect way to do the apex. Mark kind of has the nose and collapse on each other. And you can write that, I think, as a loop over KJ and I. But it just seems that if you can take advantage of the fact that over a host element, you can write loops over degrees of freedom in there as over KJ and I, and that speeds up things quite a bit. Versus unstructured, you essentially don't assume that you know where anything is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're in a host element and you're at a particular KJ and I value, then you know that at I minus 1 or at plus 1, those are your neighbors.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to get that information versus the unstructured. You essentially have to assume that it could be ordered in a random fashion almost. I mean, you obviously wouldn't do it that way, but it could be that that's how it's ordered.
Do you ever feel for how much time is spent on equations from the actual assembly matrices? My feeling was that more time was spent solving solving the matrix vector equation.
Right now it's doing it pretty efficiently.
Okay.
But I mean, I know what I mean, it's true when you're doing a long, hundreds of milliseconds of simulation instead of this insignificant overall. But in addition to the using the structured nature within the host element, making it faster, it's also easier to code. So developing truly unstructured takes a lot more brain work than starting with some kind of structure.
We should get one of our email across CC you guys and just try and define some components of this test that people can work on and try.
We've identified a few here we've got the cell equations, which are nicely parallel and don't communicate much with each other.
Yeah.
We've got matrix assembly, which kind of depend on our field definitions and whether it's structured or unstructured, and we've got a soft general rule that is distributed. Or the distributed matrix and possibly reactive.
Yeah.
And it sounds like three fairly distinct things that we were trying to do.
I would say the solve is probably one that's most nailed already on the head.
Yeah, and then we can use the little codes.
Yeah. So it's really assembly itself, which is
hopefully the simplest one.
Right.
So we're trying to use that. We're just saying that the solve one is a dummy. Because of the...
So, I mean, pre-existing. We're not going to rewrite around.
Yeah. So which libraries are what's the consensus on the right libraries to use?
I think you just pick a Krylov space package, which has conjugate gradients, GM rentals.
Yeah.
I think David Norsleth is using... I think it's a multi-scale LU solver.
Yeah.
It's not scalable by as multigrid is, but it's one of the faster LU packages.
So there's no factorization with it?
Yeah, it does a factorization. It does it in a multi-level sense, I think, is why it's faster.
So that's quite different to a Krylov space.
Krylov is just an iterative method, so it's conjugate gradients, GM runs.
I'd sort of been under the assumption that your Krylov space are going to win out in the end if the problem gets bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
true. And there's a crossover point. It depends on the architecture. So there's a variety of packages out there. I think some of them are listed on the plan.
So what's the intention to sort of try out a range of these?
I don't know if that's necessary. I think a lot of them have been used a lot. There's a lot of experience and the paper's probably written. And I don't think there's a lot you can do differently with the algorithms. So
what about the interface to them, though? That's going to determine how you break up your data.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the distribution. I mean, for example, one package that uses Fortran 90 is for just defining a matrix vector multiply.
As a convenient.
Yeah, and it can pass on the functional quantity of the matrix vector multiply. So all the Krylov space methods are essentially based on A times X. And so, however you do A times X, it can be done on the side. So, and then the vectors, obviously. So it's essentially matrix vector multiplies and dot product between two vectors. Mm-hmm. And how the vector is distributed really is not going to affect the dot product. That's not really going to be dependent on the distribution of the matrix. It's really the matrix that can be distributed multiple ways. And if you're solver is dependent on a matrix vector multiply that you can define outside of it and pass in a functional point, then you're really in control of the main component of solvers in terms of how it's defined with matrix. So should we perhaps be looking at writing the matrix vector not by a new experiment and look down this is passing on that? Is it given up and then going to need it?
To assume sort of a block thing.
Maybe could you spell out those different tasks? I'm not sure if what tasks and then the wiki calls
that. Okay.
Task and two. Go on, mate, if you want.
Okay. I think you can use, I think Pepsi has all the kernel space solvers, so the solvers in Pepsi don't depend on any structure measure, I don't think. I'm not 100% positive. It should just be dependent on a matrix that's been distributed and a vector that's been distributed. But I think getting more information on those things is important. So the particular assumptions about the matrix, how it's distributed, and the vectors, and how the solvers use the matrix vector multiplier, those are the things that we should get to with all the solver packages.
Yep.
Is there a relatively small set to look at?
It wouldn't be more than half a dozen, would it?
I suppose it would be more than a dozen.
But I don't know if it's actually that good.
Yeah. Probably half a dozen ones that are worth looking at.
Okay. And there's still that on the working out.
Yeah.
There should be. Carl and I went through and found quite a few different packages, I think. Yeah. So probably half a dozen, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd like to cover today? Well, I'm glad to stop there.